The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
I knew God called me to be a missionary, but when we pray the Lord's Prayer, which I hope you do pray, and if you don't, start memorizing it and start using it. Because when the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, he said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. And one of those phrases which applies to just what I'm talking about is, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I don't suppose there are very many people in this room this morning who are literally starving. Very few of us know anything about what it's like to be really hungry and really not know where the next piece of bread is going to come from. A lot of you have no idea about what the menu for tomorrow might be, perhaps. But you're not too worried that there isn't going to be anything. But I think of that verse, particularly in affluent America, as being important that we recognize that whatever God hands to us on his platter, day by day, we as his children receive with thanksgiving. And on God's platter for me were three huge blows to my faith. This was before I had been a missionary for a whole year in the jungle. This was all in the first year. Makadio murdered, my language material stolen, Jim's station wiped out by flood. And when you look up and say, Lord, why? He doesn't explain it. He doesn't give us intellectual satisfaction to all our petulant questions. He says, trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. You're my servant. Didn't you say whatever and wherever? Whatever my Lord the King appoints. Well, did he appoint a murder? Did he appoint the stealing of that stuff? Yes, he did. In the sense that it was God's allowance for my sanctification. And God does not allow anything at all ever to happen to any of us that is out of his control and which is not meant for our joy and our blessing and our spiritual growth and fulfillment. Absolutely nothing. God allowed that. And every single one of you has handicaps of one sort or another. Every one of us has things that we do not understand. If I am going to be an evangelistic woman, I have to start by accepting my daily bread. The conditions of my life, which have been precisely engineered and designed for the glory of God, not for the glory of Elizabeth Elliot, but for the glory of God. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it is as I learn to know Jesus Christ in my situation, wherever it is, whatever it is, that the life of Christ is going to be developed in me, and that will be the most powerful message of the good news. I'm always wanting to ask people, when I have a chance to talk with them individually, what kind of a difference does Jesus Christ make in your life? It's wonderful to hear the stories. I asked that of a prominent, young, very powerful lawyer in Boston. I met him because he told me, to my utter astonishment, that he listens to my radio program. He said he would like to meet me. So my husband and I got together with him and his wife, and he told us his story of the difference Jesus Christ had made in his life. Not because of my radio program before that. But this was the thing that I'll never forget. He said, the minute I came to Christ, God said to me, go home and love your wife. And he said, we were on the verge of a split. And he said, I went home and loved my wife. And he told his story, and his wife sat there without saying a word for at least an hour while he talked. And then I turned to her and I said, "And what did you make of this?" She said, "I could not imagine what had happened to this man." She said, "I just knew he had to be faking it. He was so nice. He was so sweet to me. Everything in our lives changed." She said, "It took me a whole year to believe it was real." She said, "I could see it with my eyes. I couldn't believe it because I couldn't imagine how it could have happened." The life of Christ manifest in us. In the place where he was, God got a hold of him. He's still a lawyer. He doesn't go out and try to preach like Louise Palau. He is a living, visible example. And that is evangelism. That's what it's about. Well, I married Jim Elliott. We lived together in a little place called Puyupungu to start with, just a little clearing in the jungle where we lived first in a tent for 5 months. The tent leaked for about 4 out of 5 of those months. And then we moved into the most wonderful palace that I could have ever imagined. After living in a leaky tent, we had a palm thatched house with a floor and walls. Our bed had been sinking into the mud in the tent because Jim had gotten hepatitis for the first 6 weeks that we were there, and so he couldn't put a floor in the tent. And so as the rain came leaking through the roof, the legs of the bed kept sinking down into the mud. And when you dropped your pillow off the bed, you know what happened. And so anyway, we lived in this nice little thatch roof house. But during the first year and from then on, as I was a jungle missionary, which lasted for, well, I was in Ecuador for 11 years, 10 and a half of which were in the jungle, and I found myself having to do medical work. Here I thought I was going to be a doctor. God called me to be a linguist, and I had to do medical work. I was giving penicillin injections and worm medicine and diagnosing all sorts of conditions and delivering babies. I didn't go to Ecuador to give worm medicine and deliver babies. "Whatsoever my Lord the King appoints, thy servant is ready." Wherever. I taught Indian girls to read and to sew. Had an old treadle sewing machine, and these girls were absolutely thrilled to learn to use that thing. I had to be the foreman when my husband was killed. We were husband and wife for 27 months. We had waited for each other for 5.5 years, and God brought us together. And for those 27 months, of course, Jim was in charge of hiring and firing the Indians who worked for us and paying them and supervising their work and all that. When Jim was killed, that became my job too. So I also had to build a few houses. I think in the 11 years that I lived in Ecuador, I lived in 14 different houses. Quotation marks around houses. They were living places. When I lived with the Alcas, we had no walls, no floors, no furniture. I had to be an architect and tell the Indians exactly what I wanted and where. In other words, I had to adapt myself to the king's appointment. And that's true of all of us. My experience is not unusual. It might be in rather exotic circumstances, but who of us is doing exactly the things and all the things that we dreamed of doing? Now, some of you are to a certain measure. If you always dreamed of being a wife and a mother, and you are now a wife and a mother, I'm sure you're overwhelmingly grateful. But there are other things in your life that are not according to your choice. And God says, "This is where I want you to learn of me and to glorify me and to be the visible sign of the invisible reality of the presence of Jesus Christ. This is your place." Some of you are working women. You may be the only Christian in your workplace. What kind of a difference do they see in you? You're a person who doesn't just do as little as you can get away with. You're the secretary who's not offended if you're asked to make the coffee. That's not what you signed up to do. But it happens that it's mostly men in the office, and of course the woman is going to make the coffee. Is that a put down? Jesus became a slave. He got down on his knees and did the dirtiest job that the lowest slave in a household ever did, which was to wash the feet of the guests. And remember that Jesus washed the feet of two who were about to betray him, Peter's feet and Judas's feet. And he said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so you must also wash one another's feet. In other words, do the dirty job with thanksgiving, with grace, with cheerfulness. I had a conversation one time with a dear lady who had just come back from the mission field. She'd been 15 years as a missionary, and she told me about 3 degrees that she had and what wonderful preparation she'd had for this missionary work. But because of health reasons, which seems to be almost always the reason why missionaries come back, she was back in the States, and she told me she'd gone to her pastor and offered herself for any service that was possible for her in the church. And she explained to this minister what her background was, her missionary experience of 15 years, her degrees. And she said to me, Elizabeth, do you know what that man asked me to do? He said, we need help in the nursery. Well, she said, can you imagine? Did he hear what I said? Did he realize the qualifications that I was given? Well, I told him I didn't think I could do that. And then you know what he said to me? He said, okay. He said, we need somebody that's willing to bake the communion bread. Well, she said, I know how to bake bread. But she said, was that what I was supposed to do, to serve the church? She said, what would you have said, Elizabeth? Maybe she didn't really say that, but she gave me a chance to say something anyway. And you know she was asking the wrong lady. She did ask me what my advice would be. I'm sure expecting me to give her some very helpful advice as to how to put that man down and put him in his place. But I just said, what you know I would say, well, you go back and you tell him you'll be glad to help in the nursery and you'll be glad to bake the communion bread. Who do we think we are?
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.